Hello, this is Joy Ray Freeman. The following program was produced and broadcast during 2001. I am a master healer, spiritual warrior, writer, and workshop retreat facilitator. My intent is to assist those who are ready to become whole and productive contributors for creating a better world. Please check out my main website for empowerment and or healing opportunities. Joy, number two, letter U, .org. Enjoy the program.
This is Joy Ray Freeman, bringing joy to the world. Are you connected to your cosmic tribe yet? We all have a family of kindred spirits with whom our highest good and special gifts will shine more brightly. Everything we do together is more synergistic, more exponential, as our energies are combined in a common dream. And when you find this belongingness, you will understand more the experiences you've had so far are a perfect fit for your new project role.
We will rise all together. tightly by our common threads. We will rise all together, we will rise. From our children to our elders, from all nations we will rise. We will rise all together, we will rise. May respect for all our differences enhance our common ties. We will rise all together, we will rise. We will rise like the ocean, we will rise like the sun. We will rise all together, we will rise. We will build a global family strengthened by our common threads. We will rise all together, we will rise. We will rise all together, we will
To Master Serapis Bey, take me to the temple and accelerate my being. Erase all the mistakes of my own doing. Energy misplaced through the lower mind must be transmuted and then refined. Master Serapis, take my hand until alone I can strongly stand. A vessel of crystal so pure, its light will endure and endure. Dear Master Serapis, accept me now. I await your tutelage as you show me how to quiet the flame of my personal self, that the true light may shine and all engulf. As your pupil, I can make amends to toss all dross into a fiery end. Then my God flame will glow and blaze, leaving karma behind in a misty haze. I await your call and take the first turn into Ascension's Hall to listen and learn, where many Chelas have found their way, anticipating the glory of their Ascension Day. I need to understand what is important, you see. It's fine to say, just be, just be, just be. I've listened to sayings until I can't hear, yet I know that which I love is so very near. I'll try the discipline you avow, to raise the light up to the brow, then feeling free to meet divinity. I'll await my God flame to encompass me. Master Serapis answers, you are an energy field of life's bruises, with circuits and bolts and many burned fuses. I can replace them for you, but you'll be right back at the start. For there's rewiring to be done, and that starts with the heart. Let your heart speak and have its say, before the mind interrupts and ruins your day. Your heart must lead strong and have the mind follow, until it understand that its thinking has been shallow. Then together they'll twine to reach up even higher, inviting the Christ Self to enlighten, perfect, and inspire. Then all of your circuits and your energy flow will ablaze with God's own flame below. With the conscious mind refined, the all of you will be divine. I cannot say what year, what time, for your heart knows as well as mine. But where all else has failed, your true self I'll unveil. Prepare for that great day. Your ascension is on the way. Learning life's lessons with a light heart. I cannot believe that the inscrutable universe turns on an axis of suffering. Surely the strange beauty of the world must somewhere rest on pure joy. By Louise Bogan. The simple abundance journey takes us to undiscovered territory. We learn each day how cultivating gratitude tills the soil of our soul, and then how the seeds of simplicity and order send their roots down deep into the earth of our everyday existence. As we progress, harmony inspires us with quiet courage to create an authentic life for ourselves and those we love. With patience, beauty blossoms, and our hearts experience not only happiness, which is often fleeting, but a wellspring of joy that refreshes and renews. We have found our true place in the world. With an eye made quiet by the power of harmony and the deep power of joy, William Wordsworth wrote, we see into the life of things. Seeing into the life of things is what engages us at this point in the transformative process. From deep within, there comes a longing to give up the path of struggle as a way to learn life's lessons. Finally, we are ready to embrace the path of joy. Learning to live in the present moment is part of the path of joy. But this requires a profound inner shift in our reality. Many of us unconsciously create dramas in our own minds, expecting the worst from a situation, only to have our expectations become a self-fulfilling prophecy. Inadvertently, we become authors of our own misfortune. And so we struggle from day to day, from crisis to crisis, bruised and battered by circumstances without realizing that we always have a choice. But what if you learned how to stop the dramas and started to trust the flow of life and the goodness of spirit? What if you began to expect the best from any situation? Isn't it possible that you could write new chapters in your life with happy endings? For many of us, this is such a radical departure from the way we have been behaving that it seems unbelievable. Yet it is possible. suspend your disbelief. Take a leap of faith. After all, what have you got to lose but misery and lack? Begin today. Declare out loud to the universe that you are willing to let go of struggle and eager to learn through joy. It just may take you at your word. What's more, you'll discover, much to your amazement and delight, that such blessings have been waiting patiently for you to claim them all along. From Simple Abundance, a Day Book of Comfort and Joy by Sarah Bann Breathnach. As you realize, become aware, understand, and reconnect with what you know, you are empowered. You are no longer controlled by assumptions, incorrect information, and poor self-belief. The obvious has not been lost. it is still obvious and right in front of you. It is there for you to take and use in whatever way you need at this time. Getting back to the essence of self-healing reminds you of how clever, how smart, and how in control you actually are. Much of what we have been told and accepted is not absolute, nor necessarily so. Yet we have each the capability and capacity of knowing what is so and what works for us as individuals. Self-healing is an empowering choice and action to take that will bring back control and awareness in our lives on multi-levels. It is a tool to be used along our journey of reconnection and self-realization. It is an exciting option and choice. The facts and information that are given regarding our health and our bodies, what is good and not good for us, changes often. The wonder food, drug, or supplement of today may be deemed as bad, even dangerous, tomorrow. We give our belief and power to individuals and companies in the hope that they know what is best for us. Each time we do so without questioning and really feeling for ourselves, we give away a little more belief in us. Over time, we find ourselves with less and less self-belief. For example, we are given daily on television pollen and allergy reports. We take the information as absolute and react. But who sponsors these reports? Benadryl or Tylenol, the makers of allergy medication. We are told to have reaction and problem to pollen and dust. And for the most, we go ahead and do so. When you have an allergy and sinus problem, it is there in your face, a nuisance telling you to react. We gladly take the medications, which control the situation without necessarily clearing it. We settle for this without looking deeper and realizing that sinus and allergy problems are nearly always about deeper issues that have long needed to be recognized and resolved, not simply controlled. Many clients have been helped by understanding their allergies and sinus problems to the point of no longer needing any outside product. By getting down to the root of the issue, you too can relieve yourself from these allergies. Another example comes from the over $8 billion food supplement industry. If you listen to the professional nutritionist or the maker of food supplements, it is easy to accept that there is nothing left to eat on the planet which will adequately sustain us. Somehow, we seem to have forgotten that the Earth has hosted for hundreds of years millions of people who have lived healthy and strong lives with nutritional levels far below what we have been able to access at our local supermarket today. As a consequence, many people, including health professionals, are giving their children and are taking themselves sometimes over 30 different vitamins, mineral, and other products every day, without having any real idea of the reactions this is causing to their body and the long-term effects. Meanwhile, as reported in the Washington Post in March of 2000, mounting evidence suggests that increasing numbers of Americans are falling seriously ill or even dying after taking dietary supplements that promise everything from extra energy to sounder sleep. And since this industry is not regulated by the FDA, food supplement manufacturers are under no obligation by law to report product problems to the government. It is easy to understand why we have grown away from the simple knowing and understanding of self-healing and listening to our own bodies. We are constantly bombarded by negative messages and information about our health, often by those who would profit the most from our illness and poor health. Indeed, our individual poor health, diseases, and illnesses are lucrative business for many people, including doctors, researchers, pharmaceutical companies, endless health-related services and product manufacturers, and the media that generates millions of dollars by advertising these products and solutions. Even physicians are bombarded by marketing campaigns from large health corporations and many don't necessarily have the time or the tools to really investigate their claims. Some work with our best interests at heart, and some work with overriding self-interest. More and more people are being killed or injured by the prescribed medications that they take. Surgery is performed before other options are truly explored. Mistakes are made, and yet we, the individual, continue to cling to the belief and hope that others do know best what is right for us. What do you do when others' recommendations and theories do not work for you? At this point, you have two choices: give up and accept the worst, or give yourself a chance. Get back to yourself, start listening to you, your body, and give yourself what you need. Your life and reality is not exactly the same as another person. You have your own individual needs on all levels. This may sound quite obvious, and it is. But when you consider how easily we assume that prescription drugs are designed for the human body as a generality, the obvious is no longer so. Poor health is not only our body breaking down or being imbalanced. It is also a reflection of how you are with yourself and life. This includes your relationships with yourself and others, past and present, your belief system, your work situation, your thoughts, how you communicate with yourself and others, what you eat, how you nurture yourself, how you fulfill yourself and take care of your own needs. This is all important. You are important, and everything that you do, say, and think makes a difference to both good and poor health. In the rush and tear of our current everyday life, it is easy to become out of touch with you. Remember, you are not a statistic. You are an individual with the power and the consciousness to heal yourself. Self-healing is not a fad or a trend. Self-healing is a way of doing and being that we have always had and only need to reconnect with. It's the option to step out of the craziness and ridiculousness of our present system, to take back control of our own wellness, to listen to our body and learn to understand what it tells us and how it communicates with us. You, the individual, are the expert, the most knowledgeable on your body. Self-healing is not an extreme. It can be used as an alternative and as a complementary action. Without doubt, self-healing is an option and a basic choice that we can all use and can only benefit from. Remember, no matter how bad you feel or how dire your situation, you can bring positive change. Others have, and so can you. Remember also, whether you can see it right now or not, you have a real reason to become ill. You also have good reason to become well. You can make the switch. By Patreem Soames.
The minister's wife had a baby. The minister appealed to the congregation for a salary increase to cover the addition to the family. The congregation agreed that it was only fair and approved it. When the next child arrived, the minister appealed again and the congregation approved again. Several years and five children later, the congregation was a bit upset about the increasing expense. This turned into a rather loud meeting one night with the minister. Finally, the minister stood and shouted out, "Having children is an act of God." An older man in the back stood up and shouted back, "Well, rain and snow are acts of God too. But we know how to dress for the weather, don't we?"
Battered and scarred, and the old auctioneer, he thought it scarcely worthwhile to waste much time with the old violin. He held it up with a smile. "What am I bidding, good folks?" he cried. "Who'll start the bidding for me? A dollar, now who'll make it two? $2 and who'll make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three, but no." From the back of the room, a grey-haired man came forward and picked up the ball. Wiping the dust from the old violin, tightening up the loose strings, he played a melody pure and so sweet, sweet as the angels sing. When the music ceased, the old auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What am I bidding to the old violin?" He held it up with a bow. $1,000, now who'll make it two? $2,000, and who'll make it three? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, going and gone, cried he. But the people shouted and some of them cried, "We do not quite understand." "What changed its worth?" swift came the reply, "The touch of the master's hand." Many a man with life out of tune, and battered and scarred with sin, is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once, he's going twice, he's going and almost gone. But the master comes and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. Yes, the master comes and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand.
Siddhartha Gautama was 29 years old when he left his family to search for a way to end his and others' suffering. He studied meditation with many teachers, and after 6 years of practice, he sat under the Bodhi tree and vowed not to stand up until he was enlightened. He sat all night, and as the morning star arose, he had a profound breakthrough and became a Buddha, filled with understanding and love. The Buddha spent the next 49 days enjoying the peace of his realization. After that, he walked slowly to the Deer Park in Samanth. to share his understanding with the five ascetics with whom he had practiced earlier. When the five men saw him coming, they felt uneasy. Siddhartha had abandoned them, they thought. But he looked so radiant, they could not resist welcoming him. They washed his feet and offered him water to drink. The Buddha said, "Dear friends, I have seen deeply that nothing can be by itself alone, that everything has to inner be with everything else. I have seen that all beings are endowed with the nature of awakening." He offered to say more, but the monks didn't know whether to believe him or not. So the Buddha asked, "Have I ever lied to you?" They knew that he hadn't, and they agreed to receive his teachings. The Buddha then taught the four noble truths of the existence of suffering, the making of suffering, the possibility of restoring well-being, and the noble eightfold path that leads to well-being. Hearing this, an immaculate vision of the four noble truths arose in Khandana, one of the five ascetics. The Buddha observed this and exclaimed, "Khandana understands." And from that day on, Khandana was called the one who understands. The Buddha then declared, "Dear friends, with humans, gods, Brahmins, monastics, and Maras as witnesses, I tell you that if I have not experienced directly all that I have told you, I would not proclaim that I am an enlightened person free from suffering. Because I myself have identified suffering, understood suffering, identified the causes of suffering, removed the causes of suffering, confirmed the existence of well-being, obtained well-being, identified the path to well-being, gone to the end of the path, and realized total liberation, I now proclaim to you that I am a free person." At that moment, the earth shook, and the voices of the gods, humans, and other living beings throughout the cosmos said that on the planet Earth, an enlightened person has been born and had put into motion the wheel of the Dharma, the way of understanding and love. This teaching is recorded in the Discourse on Turning the Wheel of the Dharma. Since then, 2,600 years have passed, and the wheel of the Dharma continues to turn. It is up to us, the present generation, to keep the wheel turning for the happiness of the many. 3 points characterize this sutra. The first is the teaching of the middle way. The Buddha wanted his five friends to be free from the idea that austerity is the only correct practice. He had learned firsthand that if you destroy your health, you have no energy left to realize the path. The other extreme to be avoided, he said, is indulgence in sensory pleasure, being possessed by sexual desire, running after fame, eating immoderately, sleeping too much, or chasing after possessions. The second point is the teaching of the Four Noble Truths. This teaching was of great value during the lifetime of the Buddha, is of great value in our own time, and will be of great value for millennia to come. The third point is engagement in the world. The teachings of the Buddha were not to escape from life, but to help us relate to ourselves and the world as thoroughly as possible. The Noble Eightfold Path includes right speech and right livelihood. These teachings are for people in the world who have to communicate with each other and earn a living.
One year ago, walking down the aisle, saw a handwritten sign that read, myself 12 before. Not many people walk down that alley. So I gathered up my change and I knocked on that broken down door. Elsie Smith waved me in through the door. Tumor growing on his neck and all across his nose. Everything's cheap, he said, I'm going to Arizona. The cancer in my stomach, it just grows and it grows. Elsie Smith, he's got an angel on his shoulder. Elsie Smith, he's got a devil in his bones. Elsie Smith, he knows he won't be growing older. Tell you my last album and I'll sing you my last song. He told me I've got an angel on my shoulder. So close I hear a whisper in my ear. And she has promised me if this devil gets much bolder, she'll take my hand and fly me out. Two-room shack, he said. He told his story. Told me about his dream to be a big country star. As the songs he wrote, this one was the best one. Played it for me on his old six-string guitar. I've had my share of women despise. Despite this ugly face, they all call me Interstate Cowboy, cause I move from place to place. Now I love this angel here beside me. She is watching over me. How I long to feel her arms around me one dark night, and she will set me free. Here I am again, walking down the alley. My heart wrestles with a 1,000-pound weight. Past the door, think I see him in the window. Torn denim jacket, tumors on his face. Somewhere in a hospital in Arizona, the body of one Elsie Smith lies cold as a stone. I feel a gentle wind just blowing over, and I know that they are hand in hand. She's flying him home. Elsie Smith has got an angel on his shoulder. Elsie Smith, he's got a devil in his bones. Elsie Smith, he knows he won't be growing older. So he told me his last album and he sang me his last song. He told me I've got an angel on my shoulder. She's so close I hear a whisper in my ear. And she has promised me, if this devil gets much bolder, well, she'll take my hand and fly me out of here.
Thank you.
sitting by the freeway, dark, cool air soothing, innumerable crickets and cars fading into the distance, vast and omnipresent, a half moon and the stars beyond, so clear now. O life, infinite moment ever new, wrapped in wonder. No school or office for me. I want the way that leads to life itself. The night air whispers of something larger and joyous. And this unknown calls, away from the stifling and the false. Putting the past behind me, I'll trust that this was meant to be, and leave the future to unfold itself, accepting what I am led to do.
If you try, you can make it if you try. You can make it if you try. Oh, you can make it if you try. Sometime you have to cry. Sometimes you have to lie. You gon' live on till you die. Oh, yeah. You can make it if you try.
To make the mistake of assuming that the person talking to us wants our advice. And too often we rush to tell other people what we think or what they ought to do, when what they really want from us as a friend is just that we hear and be with them to give them strength. It is hard to listen to other people and hear what they are really saying, and not to use your power over them or make a convenience of them. And a lot of people get confused when they listen to a friend about what the purpose of that listening is, and feel that they should do something to help out. So they either take their friend's life away from them, or, trying so hard to pull them from the hole they're in, fall inside themselves. The job of a friend is not to decide what should be done, not to run interference or pick up the slack. The job of a friend is to understand and to supply energy and hope. And in doing so, to keep those they value on their feet a little longer, so that they can fight another round and grow stronger in themselves. When we meditate, although in the beginning nothing may seem to be taking place, from the very first time we make the effort, an inner stirring is going on, even though it may have been so slight as to be imperceptible. It is very much like taking piano lessons and practicing diligently for a half hour or an hour, and then at the end of that time, when we find that we cannot play the piano, we think nothing has happened. Even on the second or third day, we may observe no noticeable progress. If, however, we persist for 60, 90, or 120 days, we can see the progress we have made. Progress which has been going on from that very first day. So it is with meditation, healing, and transformation. We may meditate many times a day, and at the end of the month feel that we have made no visible progress. But if we could know what can happen by the end of a year, we would understand why it took every one of those attempts at meditation to attain even a measure of conscious oneness with the source of life, and thereby become like the branch of a tree that has been grafted back onto the tree. Every minute, every second, every hour that you spend reaching for your higher consciousness builds a solid foundation for your transformation. Until next time, this is Joy Ray Freeman, wishing joy to the world.